Let us continue to share our life, our problem, our struggle, our whole experience. Anyway, let us remember at least four things about God. God is alive all the time. God is good. God is great. God is great because God is doing something great through ordinary people like me and you. And there is nothing impossible with our God. Amen? Okay. This morning, the Word of God, the series of the study of Matthew 26, Matthew 26, from verse 17 to 30. Today, the theme of text is about the communion. And today we are to have communion. I'm just following the series of the study of Matthew. Okay. Matthew chapter 26, verse 17 to 30. Let us read alternatively in turn. Let me start verse 17. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. And while they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi?" Jesus answered, "Yes, yes, it is you." Then he took a cup, gave thanks, offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. I tell you, I will not drink of these fruits of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Amen. Praise the Lord. May God bless all of us with this word. This word is the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. In this chapter, as we studied last Sunday, in this chapter, it is moving to a crisis. Our King, our Lord Jesus Christ, is preparing and ready to suffer and die willingly of his own accord to save all his believers. Last Sunday, we saw the worthy versus waste by the anointing of Mary. Then today in this story, we can see faithfulness versus betrayal in the upper room through the Lord's Supper. This text we read can be divided into three sections. First section is from verse 17 to 19. This section is preparation for Passover. First, preparation for Passover. Let me read once again from verse 17 to 19. On the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples in your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. This story is told in four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Also in other Gospels, we can see this same story. It was necessary to purchase and prepare materials needed for the Passover feast. Yes, also it was necessary to find a place, a suitable place in crowded, busy Jerusalem where this feast could be held. So in this text, it is said Jesus sent disciples, but according to Luke, we can know that Jesus sent Peter and John. In Luke chapter 12, 22, Jesus said to Peter and John, "Go to the city, and a man, not woman, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you, and follow him into the house, and say to the owner of that house, 'The teacher asks us, where is the guest room? Where I may eat the Passover meal with my disciples?' And then he will show you the large upper room, all furnished." Then Peter and John went out and found exactly the same things Jesus had told them, and they made preparations there. Actually, at the time, it would be most unusual for men to carry water. At the time, usually it was done by women. So the disciples, Peter and John, would have had to get bread, like this bread and bitter herbs, as well as wine for the feast. Also, they would have had to find the perfect lamb and kill that lamb and the blood put on the water. And then that lamb would be roasted whole, and then the feast would be ready. Second section is from verse 20 to 25. Second section is the announcements of betrayal. Very, very serious, crucial moments. From verse 20 to 25, "When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, 'I tell you the truth. Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me.' They were very sad and began to say to him, one after the other, 'Surely not I.' Lord, Jesus replied, 'The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But oh, to that man who betrays the Son of Man, it would be better for him if he had not been born.'" They lived at least 3 years together with Jesus Christ. But up to the very end, disciples did not realize that one of their own number, Judas Iscariot, was a traitor, betrayer. They did not see, they did not feel any difference in the method Jesus treated Judas Iscariot, which is outstanding, remarkable testimony, witness to our Lord Jesus' patience and love. And it was during the Passover feast, while they were eating, that Jesus announced the presence of a betrayal. They were eating. All of a sudden, they were shocked, very sad, surprised, and looked to each other, one another. Who? Wondering who the betrayer might be. And then they began to ask to Jesus, "Surely not I, surely not I. It is not me, isn't it, Lord?" Then at the time, Jesus gave the bread to Judas Iscariot. And Judas Iscariot received that bread, knowing full well he was betraying his own Lord. You know, Psalm 41:9 says, it was prophesied, predicted already in the Old Testament. Psalm 41:9 says, "My close friend, even my close intimate friend whom I trusted, he who shared my bread has lifted up his heel against him." Yes, for Jesus giving the bread was a gracious, compassionate act of hospitality and kindness. But for Judas, receiving the bread was an evil, wicked act of treachery, betrayal. Verse 24 says, "The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." This is the worst curse of curses. It would be better for him if he had not been born. This verse presents both human and divine sides of these events. You know, from the divine point of view, from God's point of view, Judas' treachery was predicted, prophesied already in the Old Testament, and was part of God's plan. But from human's point of view, Judas Iscariot was guilty of a base crime and completely, totally responsible for what he did. So we must know that divine sovereignty and human's responsibility are not in conflict. They do not contradict each other. Yes, even we may not be able to understand fully how they work together to fulfill God's purpose, design, and will. But they work together. As soon as Judas Iscariot received that bread, according to the book of John, the Satan entered into him and he went out. It was night. Even at the time, the other disciples did not know what he was doing. They thought he went out to buy some food, to buy something to help poor, because Judas Iscariot was in charge of money keeper. Still now, for Judas, it is night. All the time, for Judas, all the time, forever and ever, night, no day for Judas. And final section, third section, is about communion. In third section, from 26 to 30, is the institution of the communion. Sometime later, we will have communion. From verse 26 to 30, "While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take and eat. "This is my body." Then he took a cup, gave thanks, offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin." In the book of Luke, we can see, do this in remembrance of me. Because of Jesus' word, sentence, "Do this in remembrance of me." Because of that word of Jesus, we are doing continually. In Korean, 나를 기념하라. In English, it is, "Do this in remembrance of me." Remember me continually. Okay, verse 27. "Then he took a cup, gave thanks, offered it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruits of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom.'" When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. It was after, yes, Judas, it is very big point. Yes, Judas ate food meal with Jesus Christ, but it was after Judas Iscariot had left the room that Jesus established. Jesus instituted something new, the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is one of the two sacraments established by Christ himself. There is several words for the Lord's Supper. We call it Lord's Supper or Lord's Table, the Last Supper, the breaking of the bread, the communion, and Eucharist. Each name has its own emphasis. For example, it is called the Lord's Supper, Lord's Table, because it commemorates the Passover meal that Jesus ate with his disciples at last, before his crucifixion. It is called the breaking of the bread because it is a symbol of Jesus' broken body and shed blood. Jesus says continually, "It is my body, it is my blood," as a symbol, not literal meaning. Also, it is called the communion because through it we commune. We have a fellowship with Jesus and also with other believers as brothers and sisters in Christ together. Also, it is called Eucharist, because in it we give thanks to God for what Jesus has done on the cross. Actually, the word Eucharist came from the Greek word Eucharisteo. Shall we say it together? Eucharisteo. Greek word Eucharisteo means literally just thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Then, what is the meanings? What is the meanings or purposes of the communion, the Lord's Supper? Yes, we do it at least every month. Once every month, we are doing communion. Today, even Korean church did the Lord's Supper 5 times morning service. At least in the meanings and purposes of the communion, we can say seven points. Why? For what we are doing and participating in the communion. Let me say you seven points. First, it is the obedience of the commands of the Lord. Whatever blessings derived from the ordinance, observance, keeping of ordinance, it is kept out of obedience to the head of church. Bible says, do this. Jesus himself said, do this in remembrance of me. That's why we are doing. We must do to obey his word. Second, number two, it is memorial. It is memorial to the atoning death and shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are doing communion to remember, to remind Jesus' death. What is the meaning of Jesus' death? Why he should die on the cross? Yes, Jesus' death is a substitutionary death, vicarious, atoning sacrifice. Please remember, whenever we join the communion, we must remember that only through the blood of Jesus Christ, only the death of Jesus Christ, only because of the death of Jesus Christ, our salvation, our redemption, our reconciliation to God, all blessings we can enjoy were made possible. That's why we must do continually. Do this in remembrance of me. Number three is, it is proclamation, declaration, act of confession by the church, the body of Christ, of faith into the effulgence of Christ's atoning work. 1 Corinthians chapter 11:26 says, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until his second coming. Yes, it is shouting. It is the proclamation of the church about Jesus' atoning work, Jesus' redemption, Jesus' sacrifice to this world. Number four, it is statements of anticipation of the returning of Christ to finalize his redeeming work. Same verses. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until his second coming. It means this communion should be done. This communion must be done until when? Jesus' second coming. While we are doing communion, we anticipate. We are looking for to seeing Jesus coming again. Are you yearning? Are you longing to see again Jesus Christ coming? Amen. Number five, communion is, yes, communion. The literal meaning of communion is just what? Fellowship, relationship, sharing. So it is a communion with our Lord Jesus Christ, in which we receive faith, blessing, and strength in the fellowship with our Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16 says, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks or participation in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not the bread that we break, participation in the body of Jesus Christ. Yes, communion means we have a fellowship, we have communication with our Lord Jesus Christ and receiving his blessing, his strength, his encouragement by faith, not by sight. And number six, this communion is also communion of believers or statements of the oneness of the body of Christ. Communion. We are eating same bread, we are drinking same cup at the same time together as a symbol of we are one. We are saved by the same faith. We are worshiping same one God. We are serving same one Lord, sharing same hope and same vision. Galatians 3:28 says, There is neither Jew nor Greek, female nor male, slave nor free, because you are all one in Jesus Christ. That's why I make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We are many, many differences, but we are same in many areas. Communion means we are one. Also, whenever we participate in the communion, we must have two different minds, two different attitudes. One is humility, very, very humility. The other is boldness. Whenever we join communion, we must be humble. No one participates in the communion because he is worthy. We are not worthy. Unworthiness, we do not deserve. No one sits in pride at this table. It is all of God's grace that we have been born into the family of God. Please be humble before the communion. We are not worthy. But at the same time, the other attitude is we must be bold. Boldness. If we are true children of God, we can come to God, our Father, boldly. Not because of what we have done for God, but because of what Jesus has done for us. We can approach him with confidence, with assurance, with boldness. Romans 5, 1 and 2 says, Therefore, since you have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Hebrews 4:15 says, Now let us then approach the throne of grace with big confidence, with assurance, so that we may receive mercy, compassion, and find grace to help us in our time of need. Humility. We must be very, very humble, but at the same time, on the other hand, we must be bold because he is our Father. Amen? Then who can participate in the communion? Who? Only those who have been born again into the family of God have right to sit at this table in fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, communion time is very short, not long time, but in this short time, we have much to do. At least two things. First, during our communion, please pray and meditate and examine yourselves. This is not my words. This is the word of the Bible. 1 Corinthians. Okay, this is the last reference verse in my sermon. Would you open your Bible? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28-29 says, A man ought to examine himself before he eats of this bread and drink of this cup. Anyone who drinks and eats without recognizing the body of Jesus Christ, the body of the Lord, eats and drinks what? Judgment. Judgment on himself. Would you open your Bible? 1 Corinthians. Okay, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 28-29. My version is NIV. Let us read together. This is the last reference verse. Okay. Ready, go. Amen. Auto. Correct? 1 Corinthians 11, 28-29. Amen. Auto examine himself before he eats of this bread and drinks of this cup. Anyone who eats and drinks without the recognizing the the body of the laws, eats and drinks what? Judgment. Judgment on himself. Okay, what? What shall we examine of self? At least we must examine about ourselves four things. First question is, do I really and truly believe in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and Lord? Please examine yourselves. This is a very simple question, but basic, fundamental question. During our communion participation, ask to yourself, not others, do I really, truly, genuinely believe in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and Lord? Second examination, second question is, am I truly, really born again into the family of God as son of God, as daughter of God? Third question, third examination, do I really, heartily repent of my sins? Yes, we must confess, but know that confession without repentance is a mockery, useless. Last examination is there see around you, not with visible eyes, but invisible eyes. Is there anybody around me whom I hate, whom I did not forgive yet? Bible says in worshiping, in giving gifts at the altar. Therefore, if you give your offering at the altar, if you worship God and remember your brother has something against you, leave your money, leave your offering in front of the altar, and first go again and be reconciled to your brother, and then come back in the place of worship and continue worship again. Bible says, Jesus says, if you forgive your brothers and sisters when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you your sin. But if you do not forgive their sin, also your Father will not forgive you your sins. Last job we must do in communion is, Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Shall we say it together? Do this in remembrance of me. This means during communion, meditate, ponder, think over and over who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, what Jesus has been doing for me, about what of Jesus Christ we should meditate, about his incarnation, his ministry, his teachings, his miracles, his sufferings, his trials, his difficulties, and his crucifixion, his resurrection, his ascension, his exaltation at the right hand of God now, and finally his second coming. Amen. May God bless all of us with communion. Communion time is very short, but by the ministry guidance of the Holy Spirit, please examine yourselves and then meditate who Jesus is, what Jesus has been doing for me, from his incarnation, ministry, teaching, miracles, sufferings, difficulties, crucifixion, death, resurrection, ascension, and exaltation in heaven, and someday soon coming again. Amen. Shall we pray? Father God, we are here to worship the Trinity God, Father God, Son God, the Holy Spirit God. O Lord, we are very different in visible area world, but we are the same. We are one in invisible worlds. That is visible is temporary, but that is invisible, unseen is eternal. Please help us to fix our eyes on what is unseen, what is invisible. Help us to live by faith, not by sight, because we are spiritual men, we are spiritual person, we are your children in this world. Father, thank you for your establishing communion, wonderful holy fellowship, to become one with you and also oneness among us. Father God, during our communion, help us anoint each of us so that we may examine ourselves and meditate who Jesus is and what Jesus has been doing for us, because he is still alive at the right hand of God, interceding for us. Oh Lord, fill us with the Holy Spirit, spirits of wisdom, spirits of illumination, spirits of inspiration, spirits of revelation. All glory back to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.